And welcome back to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
Hey, what's up?
It's been a while.
It feels like it, and even though, like, for the ones listening, there's been shows there. Yeah. We pre-recorded some stuff in preparation for special life events.
Special life? What? What,
like,
is that?
Yeah. People having kids or something?
Yeah. A little event, happened in my family. We welcomed our fourth child, and it's great. Everybody's
awesome.
Great. So I was out for a few weeks there.
Yeah.
But, you know, as always, our visionary producer and co-host here, you know, filled in the gap and made sure we had episodes ready to go.
Yeah.
So that we didn't completely abandon. If I didn't
hit a radio, Jonathan Coker would have got me in a headlock.
Yeah, he would have showed up at the door at midnight, been like, hang on.
He'd have been knocking on my front door, like, where is the show?
Right,
But that's okay. We covered it. We got it done. Because obviously here at the American Family Association, family is very important.
Very important.
And given Jordan, like, making sure he has his space to take care of his wife and her for a few weeks.
Definitely grateful for that. It was really great to be home with family and just have that time. I mean, there's a lot of just practical, like, getting adjusted as a family to the baby. You can prepare as much as you want beforehand.
Yeah.
But that you can't really prepare for what the actual thing is. And each one is different.
Yeah.
The first one is the absolute hardest one all the time, always, I've heard. And then the third one is really, really hard as well. Second and fourth are like, things kind of divide evenly between the parents. So everybody kind of carries the load.
Yeah.
And at this point, we know what we're doing.
But once you've had one, like, the next one, there's always a kid before that's having to learn they're no longer the baby.
That happens. That happens. And, you know, we have a bit of that. But,
I had to learn that. I was very young when I was, like, 2.5. And then my brother had to learn that when he was about 2.5. Had to learn the same thing. I was very upset during this time when my sister was born, because they named her Charlie. And when I was like 5, in my head that was a boy name, and I was very upset because I had a whole slew of girl names that I liked, and I was like, why do I even talk around here? Like, why do I even talk?
Right.
But now I couldn't imagine her being any other name. So, now she's got 3 of her own.
That's awesome.
Again, I'm still just chilling. And I like to
helping
take,
out with those 3, I will say, you're a blessing.
Yeah, I hang out with them. And, like, if they know, my sister knows, like, if there's, like, a time when she needs somebody to watch the kids, which I have to compete with grandparents for that, but that's okay. But, you know, I could watch them, and then I send them back home. So,
there's things that you don't have to deal with, so great for you.
We can probably move on from this conversation,
right,
though.
Yeah. So, this is great for my first time, you know, in a few weeks back in the seat here.
Let somebody else do the head.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we
exactly.
do on these
episodes. But every so often, every month or so, we got Chris Woodward to come in from our news department, and he's here now.
Yeah, thank you. I can't remember the last time I was on, so happy President's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter.
Right.
All the fake holidays on Facebook.
St. Patty's Day is not a fake holiday.
No, it is not.
But we here, we fully believe, even though we're not typically just a news, like, show, that it is very important for the listeners to always be plugged in on what's going on. Mm-hmm. And how do we navigate these times and the things that are happening through the Christian lens?
Right.
I mean, I feel like we are in a time where things are changing at such a fast pace.
Yeah.
Technology has made it to where we're in constant, flow of knowledge, and whether that be correct information or not correct, like, we are eternally plugged in.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
To these things, these devices.
But what I'm grateful for with American Family News is that, so my social media, the way I get news is very much catered to me. It's an algorithm. They kind of know what I'm interested in, and that's the kind of stuff they give me. And so having Chris on to discuss these kind of things really kind of broadens my spectrum of what I'm aware of, and it really helps me kind of hone in on, okay, this is what's going on in the world. These are kind of the important things that are moving in our culture and maybe even worldwide, and these are things that I can pray about. And that's what I'm really grateful for, is to be able to step away from X, you know, and the news feed that meets me there, and to see, okay, here's a vision of the world right now, a snapshot or whatever. that is presented to me with Christian sensibilities and an invitation to pray about it. Mm-hmm. That's really great.
Yeah. A big story this week in Washington, D.C. has been efforts to defund Planned Parenthood. That's kind of the moniker, the campaign slogan from a number of groups, including AFA Action, the political arm of American Family Association. The reason why a lot of organizations want to defund Planned Parenthood, as they say, is because obviously it's a well-known, if not the largest, abortion provider in the United States. But also, a lot of people may not realize this, but Planned Parenthood has also been found to be a leader in providing cross-sex hormones to even minors. Wow. There was an undercover investigation this week from Live Action, one of the many pro-life organizations out there, and Lila Rose, the president of Live Action, she pretended to be a 16-year-old girl who was wanting to become a boy. And she was calling Planned Parenthoods all over the country to tell them her story and ask them, can I get this? Does my mom have to be in the room? Can we just do this virtually so that it's not so much pressure on me and stuff like this? Do you need records showing that I've had a psych evaluation? Or I just decided to do this last week. Can I still get these hormones? And in most, if not all the cases, Planned Parenthoods across the country told her, oh, sure, it's no problem. You're 16. Yeah, come on in.
Goodness gracious.
We can even send these directly to your pharmacy.
Whoa.
And so Live Action is saying this right here is why we need to defund Planned Parenthood, because they obviously are killing babies, but they're also helping mutilate children, minors, by providing them cross-sex hormones. And yes, Planned Parenthood has claimed for years that, listen, we're not taking the federal tax dollars that governments have been giving us and putting those towards abortion. But money is fungible, and so money in the bank account could still be used to keep the lights on or pay salaries to people that do provide abortion or provide cross-sex hormones.
That's crazy to me, because in any other just normal clinical situation where you have an issue, you want to talk to a medical professional and maybe have a medicine or a procedure done, there's a whole lot of due diligence that goes on behind the scenes. Of you can't just call up your doctor and say, hey, you know, I need this pretty, you know, life-altering thing. Can you just call it in for me real quick without any sort of follow-up or any sort of due diligence behind there?
Because it is life-altering.
It really is.
It is. It affects you.
It's ruining.
I mean, not just like mentally and very much physically. There's a huge number of people who are detransitioners, and you have other people that are coming down on them. So if I make the choice to switch from my gender that I was born as, you want to celebrate me. But if I decide that was a wrong move, a mistake, and I want to try to go the other direction, you come down hard on me and you don't support me.
Yeah.
But the theme that I hear is I will never be the same.
Yeah.
They're like, no matter, I mean, I can detransition and get back to a certain point,
right?
But my body is forever physically altered, and these hormones can also completely change your ability to be able to have kids and other things like in the future.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that when I was 16, if I went to a tattoo parlor, they're gonna turn me away.
Yeah.
They're gonna turn me away. They're not gonna risk their license and their business tattooing some 16-year-old who may or may not have their parents' permission for that tattoo, but I can call up a Planned Parenthood, and they're willing to just send over all this thing. And it's not just a picture on my skin.
Mm-hmm.
It is like deep internal.
It really is. Yeah. And the thing is, these hormone, the treatments and things, these aren't ibuprofen. You know, this is something that is a very, it's a heavy issue. And I know the objection to that, the talking point is usually, well, these young people who are struggling with gender dysphoria, they're at this high, risk of suicide. And if we don't, do it, it's more important to keep them from committing suicide than it is to, preserve their bodies or whatever the case may be. But the thing is, in that situation, they had no idea who this person was.
Yeah.
She was not even telling the truth.
Right.
They didn't know. So how can they actually know that these people that they're trying to help? And I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt in a little bit. Maybe they are trying to help. But they don't even know who these people are that they're talking to, that they're just willing to hand out these treatments to. That's pretty ridiculous.
We have a story on this topic that we're discussing right now. We have that story on AFN.net, but you could also go to Google and look at YouTube. Go to YouTube and look for Live Actions page, and you'll see a video where you see Lila Rose on the phone talking to different people about this. It's funny you mentioned, people are claiming it's like ibuprofen. Mm-hmm. There has long been a claim that mifepristone, the abortion pill, is as safe as Tylenol, and that's not just from like Planned Parenthood. I actually Googled this week. Honest to God, I was on Google, and I Googled, is the abortion pill as safe as Tylenol? In the AI overview, a lot of people don't realize this, but now when you look for something on Google, you will get AI to give you an answer first.
Yeah.
And the AI overview said, yes, it is as safe as Tylenol. So, you know, for a minor that's going online and trying to find something, let's say it's a 16-year-old girl with an unwanted pregnancy, and she's trying to figure out, is this safe? Because I've heard from my mom's prayer group that it's not, and she tries to Google, is it safe? And she reads that it is. She may harm herself.
Yeah.
And statistics do show that women taking the abortion pill or mifepristone do experience severe adverse health events. There was just recently a study. This came out between my last appearance and this one, but there was just recently a study from the Ethics and Public Policy Center which found nearly 11% of women taking the abortion pill experience a severe adverse health event, including sepsis, infection, and hemorrhaging. Some of these women had to go to ERs. Some died. So it is not as safe as Tylenol. One, Katie Glenn Daniel of Susan B. Anthony List put it this way, and it was a great line. I used it in a story this week. When is the last time that you went to the ER because you took a Tylenol? And it was,
it's not many.
It was kind of a mic drop moment. I mean, because it's a great point.
Yeah.
And we need more people out there to share these kinds of things, which is why we bring them on here to discuss them on this show and many others.
Yeah. And honestly, what's on trial here is not the safety of a pill. Like if I take that pill, maybe it doesn't harm me. But if a pregnant lady takes that pill, an abortion happens.
Yes.
And an abortion is a complicated thing. Yeah. It kills a baby that is in her body.
Well,
her
body's
going to have a reaction.
When there's an abortion, there's always a death.
There's
always a death.
It's 100% fatal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are abortion attempts where, of course, that the babies survive or whatever. But I don't want people to get it mixed up. Planned Parenthood is a money-making business.
Right.
There are, now I fully believe that there are people there who 100% believe they're helping people.
And they'd have no idea what's going on.
And that thing, and like if you, like there are stories from people who have been in there and gotten out.
Yeah.
They fully believe they were helping people. And for these people, I mean, you need to take the time to pray for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pray that God would open their eyes to what is going on. But this is not their first strike. There have been other investigations where people have gone in and talked, and you've noticed that in a lot of these Planned Parenthoods, they were willing to help pimps with underage girls secure abortions.
Yeah.
So this is not like strike one for Planned Parenthood.
And there are people out there that would say, well, you know, it does offer health care services like cancer screenings and things that a woman might go see a medical professional for. But in their latest annual report, which just came out this week, they reported more abortions last year and more federal funding, but healthcare services were down pretty substantially, including cancer screenings.
Well, that was some of the other, in part of these investigations, the phone calls, they would call and ask, can I get these screenings and stuff? And they were there were people who were turned away, like, we don't do that here. All the stuff that Planned Parenthood swears they do, people were trying to call in and get those services, only to be told, we don't do, I mean, like, one of them was like special care for woman who wanted to keep her baby. They're like, well, we don't do that.
So they don't support parenthood when it was planned.
Yeah.
like a lot of things that are involved in or with government, a vanilla sounding name does not live up to its name.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, so that's been a big story. And again, all those things can be found in AFN.net. If you want to just maybe go to the pro-life section of AFN.net, you can find those and many other things that we haven't even gotten into today. Another topic that I wanted to bring up here today was something involving persecution, which is a topic we often get into the show, and understandably so, because we should pray for the persecuted, and we can't pray enough. We all should pray more. All of our prayer lives should improve. I certainly need to be praying more than I normally than I have been. But there was a story this week, and it involved an interview from a congressman that was on American Family Radio. It's Representative Riley Moore, a Republican from West Virginia, and he's out there saying that Christian persecution should be getting more attention. He says, you know, there's oftentimes news reports about Jews being mistreated or Muslims being mistreated, maybe in China, the Uyghur Muslims being mistreated by communists and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with bringing those stories to people's attention, because that's a human life.
Absolutely.
And every human life is valuable.
Right.
He's not saying we should ignore those situations. He just wants Christian persecution to be a part of the conversation, a part of the news coverage of those things. And for people that maybe are new to us or haven't paid as much attention to persecution as they should have, Nigeria has kind of been a ground zero when it comes to Christian persecution. Basically, if you're a Christian, it's very difficult to live and operate and worship as you want to in a place like Nigeria. But also, Egypt obviously still has problems. Syria, places in the Middle East, parts of Asia, it's very difficult to become a Christian. So as you pray over situations in the news involving people groups that are being picked on because of how they might worship, you know, as you pray for those people to be saved but also come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, do pray for the missionaries and other people out there that are born again and that are saved, that they would not be picked on based on how they worship.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you go to AFN.net, you can click on the there is a tab at the top so you can pick what sort of topics you're interested in looking in at the moment. And there is a persecution tab. You can go there. You can also make a connection with our friends at Voice of the Martyrs.
Absolutely.
We actually air we air stuff from them too, you know. And then I mean, again, though, like you said, though, I don't see a lot of Christian persecution. Now, there's a bunch of back and forth about Jewish persecution. You know, they're the ones who claim it's happening, and then there are those saying it's not happening and stuff, but it's still being talked about.
Yeah.
But I don't hear a lot about the Christian persecution except from Christian sources most of the time. And people just, that doesn't get picked up and carried, I don't feel like, nearly enough.
Yeah. That's one, that's been one of the things that people have tried to... when it comes to like anti-Semitism on campus or anti-Semitism in general, let's say on the streets of New York or whatnot, where people are having parades and they're waving Hamas flags and all these things.
It's 100% and it happens. It's 100% happening.
I mean, like Dr. Alex McFarland and others have tried to stress to people that, look, yes, these are Jewish people and that's a different faith than our faith, but you need to be concerned, because if they'll come after Jews, they'll have no problem coming after Christians.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, it, it's the same way in China. China does not care about the plight of Muslims in Western China that they're mistreating and have been for a long time now. And because they have no problem with those people, they really don't care anything about Christians or any other people that might try to come over there and evangelize, if that's the word to use, the people of China. So do care about people and their situations. And, you know, even in a news story where a person of faith might go to court, they might be a part of a different religion or maybe a different denomination than you, but you should still care how a court comes down on those people because that impacts you and how you live.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the founding principles of our nation here and our culture, is that we have freedom to practice religion the way we see fit in this country. And obviously, as Christians, we take advantage of that, and we spread the gospel, and we try to, you know, bring people to the Lord so that they can worship Him freely in this country as well. But absolutely, once there is a precedent for one group of people that they are facing injustice or whatever the case may be, we as Christians are commanded to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves, to stand up for the oppressed and the mistreated, and to stand up for justice and righteousness. And that doesn't only mean for everyone who is like you. It means for your neighbor. It means love your neighbor. And part of that, absolutely, is supporting, you know, paying attention and praying for the souls of everyone in your nation. If you hear about persecution of any kind to be concerned about that. But then when it comes to Christian persecution, again, yeah, not a hot button topic in our country, I believe, because it's not a political topic in our country. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't have a lot of political weight right now, right here, whereas Jewish and anti-Semitism kind of does. That's a bit more of a hot topic.
Yeah.
But when we do hear of that kind of thing happening, we do have to remember these are our brothers and sisters, even if they are Coptic Christians who worship in a very different way than I do here as a Baptist in Mississippi. They are my brothers and sisters. We're united by the blood of Christ, and what happens to them by extension happens to me, and I need to carry that burden before the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, here in the United States, we are very blessed to be able to still speak out and say what we believe, but I do see a lot of not necessarily trying to just completely wipe Christianity off the planet,
right,
but trying to change it.
Yeah, there's
trying
a lot.
To make people, like, you know, it's like in scripture when they say bad is good and good is bad.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to change Christianity, and then now you've got where you're allowing like homosexual marriages and other things in the church. Well, as long as you conform to that and you allow those sorts of things to happen, they'll leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll back off. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, there are several times in scripture, in the Gospels, to be more specific, where Jesus is talking to somebody who walks away sad.
Yeah.
So, you know, or it walks away, you know. That, I think, is something we've lost as Christians. I'm not saying we've got to, you know, yell at people and you know, scare them to death.
Please don't.
but many churches have traded the message people needed to hear, that God wanted that pastor to share with the congregation. They've traded that for, here are 7 bullet points on how to have a great week.
Yeah.
And it's love. It's lovey-dovey, mushy stuff that is not going to, it might help that person have a great week.
Sure.
Okay? But it's not going to help that person come to know Jesus or live the life that Jesus wants that person to have.
It's not going to strengthen their, you know, strengthen them in any way.
Yeah.
Well, just recently I saw where there was a pastor who was doing a sermon that was pushing back against witchcraft and the things that people allow into their homes. Like, things they see as little, but it's like, no, you're doing witchcraft. And he called it out, and people started getting up and walking out of the church. And that is what we're starting to turn to. You become so comfortable in your sin that you try to say that you can be, I've seen this before, people are like, you can be a witch and a Christian, and you can be a homosexual and a Christian.
Yeah. There's a couple of things I don't want to hear. I don't want my church service to be like a romance card, and I don't want it to be a political rally either. Like, I want to hear the word of God and what God wants me to do.
Exactly.
For myself and for others.
We want to hear how great God is. We don't want to hear how great we are.
Yeah.
We don't want to, well, I mean, we do on some level, we do want to hear that, but we know that we shouldn't. We know that the church's message is not, man, you're just a really great person, and I just hope you have a great week, and God thinks you're great too.
Yeah.
That's
and
not,
give me $1,000 and you'll be blessed.
I need a plane. Yeah. That's not the message of the church. The message of the church is, here's a king and his name is Jesus and you owe him your life.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You know, I think really, too, what we need to do, and we've talked about this from time to time on the show. I don't have a stat on this per se. Well, let me point this out. There have been a number of news reports lately, and we have some of these on AFN.net, that talk specifically about a rise in young people and their interest in the Bible in church.
Yeah.
So there are Gen Zers out there that are interested in God. They're interested in the Bible, what it has to say, and they're perhaps looking for a church. So if you're listening to me and you're part of a church team that's involved with evangelism, or you just know some young people in your neighborhood, actually stop and have a conversation with them. Get to know them, invite them to church, do what you can, because there are apparently young people out there that are interested. But what was interesting is that in one particular case, church attendance for people that were like Gen X and boomers had pretty much been kind of flat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you aren't around young people, there might be people still in the baby boomer or Gen X demographic that you do know and could invite to church or get back in church. We all need church, and we don't just need it a couple, 3 times a week. We need to have church you know, in our own Bible studies or in discussion times like we're having here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the people, and the, like you were saying, the Gen Zers who are searching and who are being more interested in the Bible, I will say this is a vulnerable demographic here. Mm-hmm. They may be coming from a place where they have no idea who Jesus is. They've never heard the gospel. And there are wolves in sheep's clothing out there who are ready to take advantage of that. And I think it's a really good thing to be aware of this and to get plugged into your community and to be aware of kids in your area, or young people in your area, I guess they're not all kids, to be a good example and to guide them to a solid church that is actually preaching the gospel, to protect these people.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter who you're speaking to or who you're listening to, even if it's a pastor that you know and you trust, please keep in the scriptures, make sure everything that they say is lining up with the scripture, because they are human, and they're not without fault, and make sure that everything you're hearing, like what you're hearing right now from us, please go to the scriptures. Yeah. Don't just take our word for everything.
Yeah, the best way that you can know whether or not something is true or accurate or drawn from the Bible is to actually know what's in the Bible. Mm. For example, there are some popular TV shows on streaming services. There's films out there, and that's great. I watch them. I spend time with my family doing these kinds of things. But some of these things use artistic license to kind of make an episode.
Yeah.
Okay. For example, we don't really know the name of Peter's wife, but some people do seem to think it might be Eden. The best way that you can know this is to actually read the Gospels and other parts of the Bible to know whether or not it's just artistic license or it's just complete 100% fake news.
Exactly. Yeah, and you have to be really careful because Scripture does say do not like to not add and take away from it. And so make sure what you're reading and seeing is lining up with the Scripture.
Absolutely. Well, I guess the takeaway here is to open your Bible and start
reading
it.
Everybody, share truth and apply Scripture.
Roll credits. All right. thank you so much, Chris, for being on with us again and sharing these news stories. Again, you can check all of these out at afn.net. And if you go to afa.net, that's basically the central hub for everything we offer, from podcast to blog post to whatever media you consume. Go to afa.net and check it out there. And until next week, everybody, continue to share truth and apply Scripture.